reading from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. We'll set the context for Jesus being the great high priest. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, November 21st, 2022. Marianne, this is the week. 3 days till Thanksgiving.
Yes, it is the week.
Woohoo! 4 days until we start Christmas music. And I guess we can start saying easily Merry Christmas to people the day after Thanksgiving. I know we've already officially announced it one time. You did
that
a few weeks
ago.
We're well
into the Christmas season.
But it's a special week. There's outstanding programming for you tomorrow through Thursday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'll be airing a Moody special titled Remembering the Pilgrims. And it's really a special. It kind of narrates through some of the history of the Pilgrims and their landing and that first Thanksgiving. And yet there's sound effects. It's like you're on the ship and you're going through the ocean and you're figuring out supplies. And then there's commentary on what was happening, what it was like, and discussion. But it's a 3-day drama. It's actually four parts. On Tuesday, we'll do part one. On Wednesday, part two. And then on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, part 3 and 4. But I share some Thanksgiving scripture and some other thoughts and some history behind Thanksgiving and fun facts on Tuesday and Wednesday. So I hope you'll be able to tune in all week long as you're busy about your schedule preparing that Thanksgiving meal, or like some going to Cracker Barrel.
Oh, yeah.
I had some friends, well, one friend, I'm in a small group with him, and he said some years ago they just decided with all the rigmarole and the pressure, and his wife always was busy in the kitchen, didn't get to spend much time with everyone, and you know, the preparation the day before and all the shopping and so forth. They said, hey, let's just simplify and let's just go to Cracker Barrel, have our Thanksgiving dinner, and then just spend time sitting around and having popcorn later
And
so,
well, there's a big fireplace there at Cracker Barrel.
So anyway, some of you might be doing that or considering it now that I've shared that option. And then on Friday, it's another real special program. It's called The Little Things in Life. I captured it off the internet. It was created about 40 or 50 years ago by the Radio Playhouse, and it's a humorous look at a family's Thanksgiving. And so they're talking over the Thanksgiving table and things about church and about the food and what was really served on that first Thanksgiving meal.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we think it's like cranberry sauce and
turkey. Well, it was, wasn't it?
No. It's
pumpkin
like
pie?
No. Oh, it's not what you think at all. It's what limited food they had and how that all came together. So it's a real fun discussion and a look at the first Thanksgiving.
Well, I feel like I should know all these things. My ancestors on one of my father's sides, my direct ancestors, came over to this country. I think it was... Oh, it was within 30 years of the Pilgrims.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Early
very, very close.
Wow. And then with the special on Friday, because it was broadcast, I think 40, 45, 50 years ago, I leave in the commercials because they had sponsors back then.
Yeah,
and it's just so
stuff.
Fun to hear those commercials. So that's Friday. So it's going to be an exciting week. And then, as mentioned, on Friday, you'll hear new theme music. We play Buddy Green's version of Christmas Time's A-Comin'. So we always start Christmas music the day after Thanksgiving, all weekend long. And on the great news radio stations, the 10 frequencies, will have Christmas music the day after Thanksgiving through the end of the year. The WLUJ family of stations, those 9 frequencies, they'll start interspersing more and more Christmas music in the coming days, and we'll transition over to Christmas music come December. So
there's just something special about Christmas music.
Yeah. Oh, I've been previewing a bunch of different songs and selections and arrangements, and I get excited. In fact, on Friday, I think I open up with All Is Well by Michael W. Smith. It's just one of my most favorites, and it's a soothing rendition. I think the children's choir sing in that, and just it's a great song to begin preparing for Advent.
Hey, you know about, you were talking about Thanksgiving and where to eat. Park Avenue, I think it's called, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Mm. The First Lady and Pastor Welch, they're like inviting anybody, everybody, to this massive Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
I recorded an announcement
for them.
Yeah, he
came in the other day and we talked about it.
I said,
well, Mary Ann records those, so give me the information.
That's pretty cool that they're doing that.
Yeah, he's attending the Ministry Leader Network the first time a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, nice guy. In fact, the other Seventh-day Adventist, Eugene.
Pastor Eugene, yeah.
Yeah, he's another great guy. Appreciate both of them. And
very cool.
They're going to be handing out Thanksgiving meal.
Well, they're going to be, like, serving this whole big celebration meal. I think that sounds fun.
You can find out more by stopping by our website, greatnewsradio.org, and it's under the event calendar page. And just scroll down, and you'll see that.
Yeah.
If you don't have a family to enjoy Thanksgiving with, or because of financial situations and such, they'd love to have you.
And really, just people that already have families, they're just inviting everybody. And thank you, Karen, for keeping up that calendar. That's so great that we have that.
She's busy about that all the time.
Yeah, she is.
So, special programming this week, but thank you for tuning in today. And I open up with Hebrews chapter 4 because we're going to talk about some special things that God does when we possess a bold faith.
And that's
we're opening up chapter 7.
That's a heavy scripture you read.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big one.
Yeah, Jesus, our high priest, but he is somebody that can sympathize and identify with our weakness, yet he remained sinless. He was tempted in the similar ways as us, yet was without sin, and yet we can approach him because he understands we're frail, we're human, mm-hmm. we're flawed, we need a Savior, and how wonderful it is to know that he understands. I won't say we're inept. We are inept, but we're
very both inept and, you know, give God credit. We're actually pretty competent, too.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's one of those things. How could we have a Savior that didn't understand our problems and our frailty, like you said?
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't work.
Yeah, and I'm glad you kind of said what you said, because in one sense, yes, we are very inept. In another sense, we are prized. We are loved. We have been fashioned and created uniquely, and God wouldn't have had it any other ways. So it's like, we're nothing, and yet we're everything.
Yeah.
We
are a fallen,
amazing,
fantastic creature that can be redeemed.
Yeah, and God loves us.
Glory to God.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Always glory to God.
So another thing that we can be thankful for this Thanksgiving week,
and
this Thanksgiving year.
That is really true.
So we're in chapter 7. We've made it to a new chapter. It felt like we were in chapter 6 for like a year every week. Okay, prayer and fasting. More about prayer and fasting.
Well,
hey, by the way, remember prayer and fasting. Hey, are you praying and fasting yet?
We got ourselves convicted, Mark.
Yep.
Well, it's not as bad as you and Jason, though. You guys stay on one verse for a year, it seems like.
Right.
Not quite.
Oh, by the way, and it was so great to have him this last Friday. He was back in the studio with our guests, and he picked up right where he left off.
That sounds like him.
He was on. We talked about missions, local and world missions, and the importance of both, and one's not really more important than the other, and there's ways to participate in both. And then that scripture, go into all the world, but it's not just like leave here and go. It's as you go. So you're witnessing, you're testifying to God's goodness as you go, wherever you go.
Last time I checked, the world is your neighbor.
Yeah,
I mean, it's right outside your window. It's the world.
Yep. And we
not
talked
the whole
about
world,
that.
But it's the world.
But we talked about that with the University of Illinois, all the people from the world. And then he was talking about Mount Arbel. It's right on the Sea of Galilee.
Oh.
And there was these crossroads where people from Damascus, people from all over the world would travel through there. And that's where probably Matthew, the tax collector, was. Because you see Capernaum and the different towns. Bethsaida? Anyway.
Bethsaida. I don't know which one.
Bethsaida or Bethsaida. I don't know. It's different. People say it different ways.
It's a different language word.
Yeah, anyways.
Anyway.
It was one of those highways that people from those parts of all over the world would travel through. So maybe when Jesus was proclaiming to his disciples on Mount Arbel and looking down and was saying going into all the world, like right there, those are people from all over the world, and preach to them and testify to them. And we get that opportunity if you're near a college community. And with our listenership, we have all sorts of colleges around the area. So there's international students that come in, and you can witness to them in a variety of ways.
Well, I'll tell you, I want to be like you, Mark. That you preach it, because, I mean, when you said the words Mount Darbell, the first thing I thought of was a shoe line that sounds just like that. I know I got shopping on the mind because of Christmas, but that's terrible. I mean, everything you said was just great, and I was sitting over here going, hey, that's a shoe line.
So, yeah, in fact, if you really do, when I'm in Israel and Avishai, he's one of our good friends over there in Tiberias, but he goes, Mount Arbel.
And I love saying it.
It's like when I love to say Jean René Balakita.
Yeah, you like those foreign language
Mount
words.
Mount Arbel. Well, anyways,
okay.
I didn't get to say this on Friday.
You're getting
program.
Going on that. What language is that?
That's my Hebrew.
Oh, they don't like that way. You sound French.
I'm not sure what that is.
Oh, well.
But last Friday, we didn't mention it. I didn't want to bring up the whole side tangent, but they said that
So you did
Jethro,
it here with me. That's
yeah,
okay.
I'm doing it now because I didn't want to Jason
We wouldn't
want to
mess up
great
that
flow.
Program.
Yeah, no. But when Jason was sharing later on afterwards, we talked about this, but I think Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, is buried on top of Mount Arbel.
Oh,
and the Druze kind of worship him as one of the prophets, and just kind of interesting history and such. But yeah, he influenced Moses to make some decisions.
Yes, he did.
How to delegate.
Some really, really good ones.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so that's just a little fun fact on Mount Arbel.
Welcome, listener.
Yeah, so.
You never know what you're going to get. Stay with us.
I'm the fill-in for Mark Burns. He's not in today.
You're not going to own it. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall I read?
We'll have to tell Mark about this.
Oh, we will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just won't know what to think about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so chapter 7. In the prayer, the timeless secret of high-impact leaders.
Hey, I just have to say, I'm just so excited. It's Thanksgiving week, and you know how I love mashed potatoes. I talk about it all year long. And turkey, and
I was reading the title of the book. So, yes, you wanted to talk about that. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, that's why I'm so wound up.
It's coming.
It's a fun week, yeah.
Oh.
Okay, I think I can calm down. Now I got it out of my system. I know I'm going to have that mashed potatoes and, oh, the turkey. Oh, I love that so much. And, Okay.
Do you need to go to Cracker Barrel like some point
yeah,
later
maybe,
today or
yeah,
something?
Maybe I'll have to get like a pre-Thanksgiving
you should,
fix.
That way
I could get it out of my system.
I like that idea.
Okay.
Okay, chapter 7. Possess a bold faith. How would you rate your prayers? Oh, dear. Are they weak and wimpy or strong and mighty? High-impact spiritual leaders pray differently than more common folks.
Now, let's pause here, because you and I had some discussion
about
this.
We had a near argument, actually, but we'll call it a discussion.
You certainly didn't like at all, like, common folks, because you're like, what do you mean common folks? We're all common folks, and why try to pit up, like, somebody who's high and mighty and a spiritual leader versus somebody who probably can be common like you and I,
I'm
and yet
always
have the
for
most
the common people,
powerful
Mark.
Prayers about anything. And so anyways, but we thought his intent was probably just saying that those spiritual leaders that are maybe more practiced or used to seeing miraculous thing answered, maybe pray a little differently than somebody that hasn't prayed too much or hasn't seen miraculous things done, so maybe prays a little more self-centeredly or pray small things. I mean, we just kind of read into it.
But well, it's funny you're saying you thought that, but you did convince me. You made a real good argument. We could redo that argument right now. But anyway, I did come to agree that that's probably what he meant. I think you're right. Okay, those people, those ones that pray differently, this is what we're talking about, they pray with greater boldness. Well, there's a point there. They come to God with confident courage. They take seriously the promise of Hebrews 4:16. Is that the one you read?
Yes.
Let us
a
then,
portion. I read like 14, 15, and 16.
Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When I say high-impact spiritual leaders pray boldly, I mean they evidence several earmarks of courageous faith in prayer. As you read about them, consider the level of boldness in your prayers.
Yeah, and I like the fact that he's really stretching all of us to pray more boldly, recognizing that God delights in answering our prayers, especially when they're according to his will.
Yes.
And we're surrendering to Jesus and we're following his pattern of how to pray and what to pray for according to his will.
And, you know, most of us kind of know that line. We may not know the sovereign will of what God wants to do, like in a nation or here or there, but most of us know the basic will, because if any prayer goes against the stated principles that God has laid down, that's not going to be in his will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just that simple.
Yeah.
Don't pray about lying. It's not going to work. Yeah. And so, you know, but there's so many.
Don't pray that you should steal the bigger item or the smaller
it's
item.
Not, just it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not in his will. He's already said it.
Yeah.
It's not a question. But there's so many things that he said are. He wants to save the lost. He wants so many things that we know that is his will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, boldly claim God's promises. Transacting business with God.
Hmm.
Hudson Taylor, that's a familiar name to many, mm-hmm. was an Englishman who left a very deep mark for God, both in China and around the world. From nothing, he founded the China Inland Mission, which at his death included 205 mission stations with more than 800 missionaries and 125,000 Chinese Christians.
Mm.
Read that last sentence again slowly. How did he do it? What was his secret? Taylor's son and daughter-in-law wrote a biography of his life, interestingly titled Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret.
Mm.
In it, they stated that there was one secret of the great impact of Hudson's leadership. And here's their quote from their book. He overcame difficulties such as few men have ever had to encounter and left a work which years after his death is growing in extent and usefulness. Largely as an outcome of this life, tens of thousands of souls won to Christ in previously unreached provinces.
Mm.
What was his secret? The simple, profound secret of drawing for every need upon the, quote, fathomless wealth of Christ.
Hmm.
Oh, where did Taylor learn this type of prayer life? The secret came from his sister, Amelia. He was converted in part through her persistent, prevailing prayers. She committed to give herself in prayer until he gave himself to Christ.
That's classic.
Okay. The day she made her commitment, she wrote these words in her diary, quote, "The promises of the Bible are very real. And prayer is, in a sober fact, transacting business with God, whether on one's behalf or on the behalf of those for whom one seeks blessing."
That would have been interesting to get to know her, because he's
Amelia.
I'm going to press into God because he wants people saved, and I want my brother saved, so I'm going to force this issue with God.
That's what I mean. Knowing the will of God, definitely that would be it.
Hmm.
Transacting business with God became a model for Hudson's dynamic life of bold faith and prayer. Every need, whether it was for funds, converts, or workers, came by trusting God and claiming his promises.
Wow, this, again, holds the bar really high. I think about this radio ministry. I think about the things that we do and we project into the future and pray that God, with expansion, you know, with our frequencies and things that he'd do and how it all come together. And it just reminds me of how much has to be undergirded in prayer and thought through, but prayed out.
Yeah, very good. The future is as bright as the promises of God. Another amazing pioneer missionary was an American named Adoniram. How do you say his name? Judson. Well, I've seen his name written so many times, I should have looked it up. He was
Mount
Baptist.
Abel.
Oh, no. Here we go. Oh, my goodness. Please bring Mark back, please. He was a brilliant man, a highly capable lexicographer and Bible translator in Burma. He was a man who victoriously faced incredible odds because of his courageous faith in the promises of God. With only his wife, Judson went as a pioneer into a land of millions where there was not one known Christian at that time. They labored six long, soul-crushing, heart-breaking years before their first convert came to Christ.
Mm.
Judson had to master the complex Burmese language without the aid of any textbooks. On the mission field, he suffered the untimely deaths of two wives, three children, and a number of co-workers.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Judson was incarcerated for nearly 2 years in a squalid prison, emaciated, filthy, shackled, and hanging upside down much of the time. God have mercy. His few Burmese followers faced the constant threat of persecution. Still, Judson persevered in his work of preaching and translation. How did he do it? When he returned to Boston for his only furlough, Judson was asked by a prominent printer Do you think the prospects are bright for the speedy conversion of the heathen? Judson promptly replied, as bright as the promises of God. Amazingly, after his death, a Burmese government survey recorded 210,000 Christians. Today, there are nearly 4 million Burmese believers. That's an amazing story.
Wow. Yeah, and what he had to suffer through.
Oh, I know. It's just heartbreaking. And he went from finally, after all those years, one convert, and now there's 4 million.
Yeah.
It's an incredible story.
When your parents were in Africa, you know, way out in the bush and
yes,
reaching
way
people
out there.
That had never maybe heard the gospel before, did they go through some of that same struggle of trying to reach a people that hadn't been reached, or were there a few that knew Christ?
There were, and definitely in West Africa. But the interesting thing is something, you know, very unusual happened in that mission field. Some missionaries from New Zealand had paved a really powerful road and had made friends of chiefs and local headmen and all kinds of people. And so we came right in on their coattails, so to speak. So it was a really kind of had a rough life in many ways out there, but they had paved an incredible road.
And what's neat with this testimony, because so many times Americans think we're the first ones in.
It's New Zealand.
Yeah, New Zealanders.
Yeah, in fact, the chief, he was like, when the first American missionaries came way out there in the bush, the chief was like, wait, no, we know the New Zealander. Wait, who are you? So the Americans had to kind of prove themselves, and the New Zealanders came, and they're like, oh, these are our brothers. These are amazing people, you know.
So
it would all worked out well, but yeah, it's an interesting story, actually.
Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early, a book that we highly recommend, and I hope you continue to follow along with us on Mondays. All these programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org, also WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, everyone, it's Thanksgiving week. Lots to be thankful for, and be thankful for those missionaries that plowed the way. Maybe those missionaries in your neighborhood that shared Christ with you and influenced you to follow after the Lord Jesus.
What's it say? One man plants the seed, another man waters, another man gets the harvest.
Yeah. We serve a great God that works in a lot of different ways to bring us to that knowledge of the great God that He is.
Okay, so happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes, Merry Christmas, too. It's coming.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and happy Thanksgiving.
Ha ha ha.